So for those who care to join us, let's open the meeting with the Serenity Prayer. God, grant me the serenity to accept the things I cannot change, the courage to change the things I can, and the wisdom to know the difference. Amen. The Simple Actions Group wishes to extend a warm welcome to all in attendance today. Is there anybody in their first 30 days of sobriety? We'd like to welcome you. Anyone can use the chat function or raise your hand or wave at the camera or send a smoke signal. Anybody? Okay, well, if you're new and you're shy, we encourage you not to leave tonight without reaching out to somebody. And we'll also leave the room open after the meeting and hang out a little bit if anybody's looking for additional help. The preamble of Alcoholics Anonymous says, Alcoholics Anonymous is a fellowship of men and women who share their experience, strength, and hope with each other that they may solve their common problem and help others to recover from alcoholism. The only requirement for membership is a desire to stop drinking. There are no dues or fees for AA membership. We are self-supporting through our own contributions. AA is not allied with any sect, denomination, politics, organization, or institution, does not wish to engage in any controversy, neither endorses nor opposes any causes. Our primary purpose is to stay sober and help other alcoholics to achieve sobriety. The format of this meeting is an open Big Book step study. As a group, we recognize the power of one alcoholic identifying with another alcoholic, sharing their experience, strength, and hope from the book Alcoholics Anonymous. We encourage you to engage in conversation and ask questions after the meeting pertaining to the step discussed tonight. And tonight I'm going to share my screen with the readings. And tonight we are discussing step one, part two, the obsession of the mind. Please help me welcome our panel this evening. We have Leslie and Ebony. So I'll read the first paragraph and then I'm gonna unmute Leslie. Let's see. We're going to start on page 5 in Bill's story. I woke up. This had to be stopped. I saw that I could not take so much as one drink. I was through forever. Before then, I had written lots of sweet promises, but my wife happily observed that this time I meant business, and so I did. Shortly afterward, I came home drunk. There had been no fight. Where had been my high resolve? I simply didn't know. It hadn't even come to mind. Someone had pushed a drink my way and I had taken it. Was I crazy? I began to wonder, for such an appalling lack of perspective seemed near being just that. Renewing my resolve, I tried again. Some time passed and confidence began to be replaced by cocksureness. I could laugh at the gin mills. Now I had what it takes. One day I walked into a cafe to telephone and in no time I was beating on the bar, asking myself how it happened. As the whiskey rose to my head, I told myself I'd manage better next time, but I might as well get good and drunk then, and I did. Leslie?
Thanks, bud. I'm Leslie, I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Leslie.
What up? It's really cool to be on this odd panel in different rooms with Ebony, and thank you guys for asking us to speak months ago, and I don't know, it's always cool to be asked to do something in Alcoholics Anonymous, and still be able to meet when the world is having such an issue as today. But yeah, as for this reading, this is totally not my experience. I never had like situations in my drinking where I was like, oh, nope, not going to drink anymore, you know, not going to do this, I got to get it together. Like, when I was a teenager, it was like, oh, ha, 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 that was funny, you know, or like, oh, I felt bad, like, let me watch out, but never, I'm not going to drink again, you know. The only time that ever happened was towards the end of my drinking, and it was one of those super, like, walk of shame, and it was the pitiful, incomprehensible, demoralized state, And I remember I told myself I'm not drinking for 4 days. That's all I wanted to do was not drink for 4 days because I knew I couldn't go for an entire week. It was just going to be 4 days. And I didn't even make it 24 hours. And the way I like came to the next morning was like, oh, cool, at least I'm in my own house. And like, ugh, that feeling was there. And it was the first time ever, swear to God, like in my entire like 8 years of drinking. Like I woke up and I was just like, I can't do this anymore. Like I felt hopeless for all of like 4 seconds, and something came inside of me and I was just like, I need help. I didn't know what kind of help I needed. So I called my sister, left a voicemail, fell back asleep, and that was it. And then by the time she was calling me back, like hours later, I was like, nope, I'm good, changed my mind. You know, but if you ever meet my sister, you know, like, nope, she was already like banging on my door, like as she's calling me. And she'd just been waiting for that phone call of like, I need help. So really that's all I got with that. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Leslie. Ebony?
Hi, I'm Ebony. I'm an alcoholic. I have not found it necessary to take a drink since Friday the 13th, November 2015. And I think that's really important because, one, I did not plan to for that day to be the last day I took a drink. You know, I'm just like Bill. I have this mind that always tells me it's a good time to take a drink, you know, and I love this part of Bill's story because, you know, that is my experience. Seeing the world on fire around me, seeing all these consequences, like shaking when I didn't have alcohol in my system and knowing I had to stop, you know, admitting like this is ruining my life. I really need to get it together and just get my life right. You know, the first time I remember was like, when I turn 30, I'm going to stop drinking the way I'm just going to stop. I did not, but you know, I'm just like Bill. I admitted that powerlessness a lot, you know, and then would accidentally find myself drunk with people asking me like, why'd you drink again? Don't you know? And me just staring like, I don't know. Like, I know what it feels like to think, like, am I crazy? I don't know how this happened. I promised my mom I wasn't going to drink, and I meant it to my core. I promised the principal of the school, like, I don't have a problem. I can stop. I can do anything I put my mind to. And just being so confused how I would just accidentally drink again. You know, I love self-knowledge. I love to read some books. I love science. I love numbers. I love math. If I could just figure it out, self-knowledge would work for me. You know, and I just think every time I read it, it just makes me giggle. But my experience is just like Bill's, just admitting I have a problem with alcohol, that I'm chemically dependent. That was always my thing. I'm chemically dependent. was never enough to make me stay stopped. You know, I'm just like this. I have a mind that will always tell me, Ebony, this is a reason to drink. A drink will make you feel better. A drink won't make you feel that. A drink will make everything splendid, or more specific, this is going to be different. It's just going to be one. So I love reading this stuff because I was hopeless like him, thinking I was crazy, thinking I was cursed by God, thinking I was doomed. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ebony. All right, we're going to continue on page 7. It relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened when it comes to combating liquor, though it often remains strong in other respects. My incredible behavior in the face of a desperate desire to stop was explained. Understanding myself now, I fared forth in high hope. For 3 or 4 months, the goose hung high. I went to town regularly and even made a little money. Surely this was the answer. Self-knowledge. Leslie?
Hey, I'm back. You made me look bad, Ebony. My sobriety date is May 31st, 2008. And this part, I'm starting to relate. Like when I'm reading this now, like I relate to this. And at the end of that paragraph, it says, you know, self-knowledge. And then beside that wrote, it's not. Because this was me once I got to Alcoholics Anonymous. Like once I finally physically felt better, I was just like, oh, these jokers have taught me some stuff about myself and about my drinking. Like, I think I could do this, you know? And then it eventually happened. Like, somebody pissed me off and I had a feeling and that's all it took. And, you know, I didn't have, like, the fight. I didn't know what to do. I didn't have any tools yet. I thought I knew enough about myself to control it. So I went back out and got drunk, you know, and I've done that multiple times. And, you know, I had old timers always ask me, like, when I would come back, they would be like, why'd you do it? And I'd be like, oh, I did it because of this, you know, or because of that, because you did this. You know, it was always something else. It wasn't me. I always drank at something or just because I had a good day, you know. But, you know, I gave my guy my excuse, and he just looked right at me. He goes, huh, you just didn't want to get drunk more than you wanted to stay sober? I was like, huh, that's probably more true. You know, and that's always stuck with me when anybody goes back out or the last time I went back out, like, that's what it is. Like, I want to get drunk more than I want to stay sober because after a while, I've been given the tools. I know what to do. Like, it's just up to me if I pick them up and actually use them today. So, yeah, I'm just really overwhelmed to be doing this right now. My heart's like pounding. I really respect Ebony and the knowledge she has of this book, and you too, David, because you were here when I first got here, you know, and or when I first came back around. And like coming up to Norfolk and going to meetings like really changed my sobriety. And like listening to the messages that you guys gave, like with the enthusiasm that comes through in those meetings, like it changed. For me, when I finally heard that, when I finally created the fellowship I craved that I didn't even know that I wanted, like, oh my God, that was a game changer. Now, you guys taught me so much, and I got a sponsor up here, and she took me through this book, you know, and I remember going through the book with her, and it's just such an amazing thing to be a part of. So I know today that self-knowledge is not going to keep me sober. You know, I know a lot of shit about myself, and it doesn't save me by any means. My higher power is what does it, because you humans still tick me off to this day. And when I can't get to you, like, meeting-wise, when I can't get my Jackie hugs or my Ebony hugs or whatever kind of hug I'm wanting, you know, my higher power is what I have to turn to always. So for that, I am grateful. Thanks for letting me share.
Thank you, Leslie. Ebony?
So it relieved me somewhat to learn that in alcoholics, the will is amazingly weakened. You know, for a long time, I wanted anything to be wrong with me but alcoholism. I wanted someone to tell me, like, you're epileptic, or when I went through seizures from withdrawal, I had some seizures, and I thought it was my Kindle. I was playing a crossword. I had gone 12 days, and like around day 2 or 3, playing the Kindle, trying to find some words, had some seizures, and was like, this has been the problem. I found it. I'm epileptic. Like, it's got to be anything. And then going to the doctor and them asking me about my drinking, and the first thing I would do is lie. Like, it's anything but alcoholism, you know? And then finally being in the fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous and being in a meeting and hearing people share their experience, strength, and hope, and just thinking, like, being relieved, like, oh, it's only alcoholism. And still thinking, but I don't have to work the steps. Like, I found out what the problem is. It's just alcoholism. These people just told me I have an allergy. Check. I get it. I break out in hives when I eat seafood. I understand. If I don't drink, I'll be okay. Like, but I don't need to do any work because I've learned enough about myself. I would hear people just share, and I went to a lot of meetings, and I thought, like, if I learned, like, first of all, I would go to, like, 8, 5, 6, 3 meetings a day, however many I could, so I could get as much information as possible. Wasn't trying to go to a doctor, wasn't trying to do anything that required money because I was unemployable and didn't have any. So I was going to steal all the knowledge I could from the members of Alcoholics Anonymous and not follow it up with anything. Just like Bill, like, oh, thanks for the information. This is great, you know? And like, it worked for a little bit. Self-knowledge is great until it's not. But I just know in my experience, self-knowledge only holds me so long because I do suffer from that mental obsession. You know, eventually my mind will convince me. And I keep saying that over and over again because time after time when I look back at my drinking, honestly, I can see that peculiar mental twist that I never saw before. But thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ebony. Once again, I neglected to read the actual step that we're talking about tonight. Step one, we admitted we were powerless over alcohol, that our lives had become unmanageable. We'll continue reading on page 24. The fact is that most alcoholics, for reasons yet obscure, have lost the power of choice in drink. Our so-called willpower becomes practically non-existent. We are unable, at certain times, to bring into our consciousness with sufficient force the memory of the suffering and humiliation of even a week or a month ago. We are without defense against the first drink. The almost certain consequences that follow taking even a glass of beer do not crowd into the mind to deter us. If these thoughts occur, they are hazy and readily supplanted with the old threadbare idea that this time we shall handle ourselves like other people. There is a complete failure of the kind of defense that keeps one from putting his hand on a hot stove. Leslie?
Thanks, bud. I remember the first time I read this, I was like, I'm a chef. I like hot stuff. This doesn't scare me. Like, I got this. I'm just such a fool, you know? But at least I was almost relating to it, I guess. But yeah, like, oh my God, there was this dude, Joe, that used to talk about the magic shower, you know? And like, that was me, like a certain amount of hours or a certain amount of like vomiting, like I would forget about how bad I felt or whatever it was, you know? And I would just do it all over again. Like, this is really where my insanity starts. I didn't know that I lost the choice in drink though. You know, like, I really had no idea. It took me a long time to understand that. Like, I thought it was just a phase, or I thought I was cool. Like, I didn't know, like, how I honestly obsessed about it. You know, I have a couple of great situations. I was working on a Sunday on a brunch. And if you work in restaurants, you know how working a brunch is just, like, the worst shift ever. And people love your brunches. But they're the worst in the kitchen. And I just remember, oh my God, I can't wait to get home. I cannot wait to get home and have my drink. You know, I deserve this, blah, blah, blah. Everybody pisses me off. I want this so bad. And I remember I finally got home and I sat down and I cracked it open. And that's all I needed to hear. That is it. I don't even remember drinking it, but I just remember the scent. Oh my God. It's like at the end of Requiem for a Dream when she just gets it and she just hugs it. You know, like I don't even have to like do it, drink it. I just have to know it's there and there's my ease and comfort. You know, like that I think is what super sets me aside from like normal people. But I would always forget about the crazy stuff or the feelings. And what's worse for me is like, oh my God, I can still have those thoughts after being sober for 11 years. You know, like that stuff still comes in there. And my first sponsor taught me, and I'm so grateful for this. Like I'm not responsible for the first thought that comes into my head. You know, I'm responsible with what I do with it. So here y'all go. Like, I know you've heard this before. Like, imagine it's a little poop. And am I going to sit there and pluck that poop or am I going to flush it? And that is honestly one of the first tools she ever gave me besides my mantra. But she was like, why don't you flush that poop, Leslie? I'm like, yeah, that'd be a good idea. You know, I don't want that anymore. And like, that's honestly how I would get the obsession. I'm so glad you're on my screen, David. Thank you. Flush that turd, baby. Flush that turd. So that's what she gave me. And, like, that's what I still do to this day after whatever amount of time is going by. You know, I get that thought. And, like, it always looks beautiful and it looks fancy. Like, I love bar lights. I even love a stink, old, stale smell. Like, I love that. Like, that's the kind of stuff I'm attracted to. Like, I'm dirty. We all had this conversation the other night with our sponsor about certain whatever. Anyway, like, I'm not fresh and clean. You know, like, I'm a dirty girl. And that's the kind of stuff I am attracted to. And I forget. I forget all about that. I'm like, oh, my God. And then once I get it inside of me, I can never tell you what's going to happen. You know, so I am grateful today for that tool that I've been given. So, like, hey, God, please take away the obsession. Hey, God, please take away the obsession. And, like, just get it out. Just flush it. So, anyways, I'm probably, like, super off with this. Good luck with that, Ebony.
Thanks, Leslie. Yeah. Ebony?
Hi, I'm Ebony. I'm an alcoholic. I don't know why I reintroduced myself again, but...
Hi, Ebony.
I remember my first sponsor telling me anything that's in italics is really important information. And to just, no matter what, even if I didn't agree with it or didn't like it, like I did most everything in the big book at first, to highlight it, you know, and this whole paragraph is in italics, you know, and I am a fighter. I am a fighter since the day I came to this earth. My mom will tell you how horrible of a child I was. When I get an idea in my head, it's very difficult for me to let it go. You know, and I remember reading this and it telling me, like, I was personally offended by this. Like, you're telling me I have lost the power of choice. Like, my ego doesn't like stuff like this. I don't like to hear... I just really was closed off to thinking and trying to, like, explain to my sponsor, who lovingly would just, she just let me talk. And then when I'd, like, exhausted myself like a little kid, would just say something to just blow up my whole world. Like, oh my gosh, I never thought about it like that. You know, and that's what the paragraph after this one does for me. Like, for me, this the second paragraph that we read, talking about the consequences don't come to mind. Like, I always feel like maybe this one will be different. And when they do come, it's just like, it's a fleeting thought. Like, Ebony, you know you shouldn't drink because it can, well, this time it's going to be different. And it just takes over. You know, and it's weird because back to that 12 days, even after having those seizures of withdrawal, thinking I made it 12 days, I can celebrate with a drink. You know, things like that. Looking at the way I drink and looking at the way alcohol had ran my life for so long and the relationship that I had with alcohol, I could see how I would forget the consequences. I could understand how I would go in someplace and say, like, X, Y, and Z are happening. Your boyfriend said if he finds you drinking or if he finds bottles around hidden again, you guys are going to break up. The boss telling me all of this stuff and knowing, like, okay, I've got all of these consequences. I know I can't let down these people anymore. My job is on the line, and still finding a way to say, all right, let's drink. You know, I never had anything that lasted. For a while, those like that frothy emotional appeal worked for a little bit. And then my mom was like, oh, well, you don't need that boyfriend. Your mom will get over it. She's supposed to love you forever. And you're good at what you do, so you can always get another job. And I would always be like, all right, you're right. You know, and that for me is the loss of power of choice. My mind tells me it's a good time to drink, and I can only push it off for so long before I'm exhausted. You know, I am powerless. I do not have enough power inside of me to, and I can willpower myself. Like, I've gone months without talking to my parents, changed my cell phone, wouldn't give them my number. Like, I'm a grown independent woman. I don't need you in my life. Like, and I can will myself through some stuff like that. But I always found a valid reason, you know, to take a drink, no matter the consequences. Sometimes I remember them and I just didn't care anyways. Like, I might as well just take this L. Don't know what else to do. It's weird, but it's funny because I couldn't see that, and I thought something was wrong with me. and not alcoholism, but like insanity, or, and I am insane when it comes to that first drink, but like this felt doomed and cursed by God. And then I came into the fellowship and people explained to me, like, Ebony, you had no choice. Like, of course you were going to drink again. You don't have a solution. Of course you're going to drink again. You don't, like, that's what we do. I like that story in the back where it's because I'm an alcoholic. Like, this guy crying about all this stuff and not knowing why. I drank because I'm an alcoholic. That is what I suffer from. That allergy, but I can't even stay away from it because my mind always convinces me, those consequences don't count this time. Let's try it again. You know, I always go for that one time it was great versus the other 99 where I woke up and wanted to die. So, thanks.
Thank you, Ebony. We're going to continue. We're going to continue on page 30. Most of us have been unwilling to admit we were real alcoholics. No person likes to think he is bodily and mentally different from his fellows. Therefore, it is not surprising that our drinking careers have been characterized by countless vain attempts to prove we could drink like other people. The idea that somehow, someday, he will control and enjoy his drinking is the great obsession of every abnormal drinker. The persistence of this illusion is astonishing. Many pursue it into the gates of insanity or death. We learned that we had to fully concede to our innermost selves that we were alcoholics. This is the first step in recovery. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. We alcoholics are men and women who have lost the ability to control our drinking. We know that no alcoholic ever recovers control. All of us felt at times that we were regaining control, but such intervals, usually brief, were inevitably followed by still less control, which led in time to pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. We are convinced to a man that alcoholics of our type are in the grip of a progressive illness. Over any considerable period of time, we get worse, never better. Leslie?
I feel like me and Ebony have been talking about this for days, and it's been awesome. Like, we're going to have a conversation after this ends, and I promise you tomorrow it's going to be a topic in a meeting. Like, that's how it's been. It's been amazing. I hated this when I first read it. It's just like, what is this crap? What is this truth they're trying to tell me? As soon as I read it, like, I should have realized this, like, I was just so standoffish when I first got here. Like, I was just trying to prove to everyone that I'm not an alcoholic and I don't belong. I don't know. I had the choice. I could just leave. You guys kind of cared, kind of didn't, you know. But yeah, I stuck around just to like prove you wrong. And I remember reading this and I was like, no, this is definitely not me. I was only like 24, 25, 26 when I finally got sober. Like, I just could not find myself in here, you know? And that old timer I was talking about a minute ago, he was the one that told me to ask myself, like, really, Leslie, like, think about your drinking and ask yourself two questions. Like, one, can you predict the outcome? Like, can you tell me what you're going to be doing at the end of the night? And I'm like, no. And then he's like, okay, can you control your drinking? Like, how much you're going to take? And I was like, no, like, who wants to do that? And I never really had situations like that. I had one afternoon after I got off work, I was like, all right, I'm going to drink one. And that was horrible. And I know y'all have heard me talk about it. Like, that was the longest, like, 17 to 23 minutes of my life when I was debating, like, should I have another? Am I going to do this? Nope, yep. And I ended up drinking because I could not stand how I felt, you know. And that was in my early 20s before I ever got my DUI and knew what AA stood for. And then when I got here, I'm just like choo-choo, losing my train of thought tonight. It's so crazy. I did not want to be here. You know, I was 24. This just had to be a phase. You know, I didn't want to be different than my friend. You know, like I talk about my friend Julie all the time. Like, why do I have to be the alcoholic? We would drink the same. We would do the same thing. And we would wake up the next day and she'd be like, let's get a cheeseburger. I'm like, but I'm ready to die. Like, I don't see how we are different, you know, but yet we are. Like, alcohol just has this, like, soul sickness, mind control, like, bleh, over my life, you know, where it doesn't do that to her. Like, that is a very technical term, a bleh, if y'all have never heard of it. I swear, it's the thing, you know, and that's just how I felt for, like, years. You know, and I remember I didn't want to ever control my drinking, but I wanted to look fancy. I wanted to be the girl, and I had an experiment one time. An entire week was devoted to, like, all right, I'm going to be able to drink beer, drink some wine, and drink whiskey, you know, and, like, while I'm out at my fancy dinners and stuff, you know, because I had this illusion that I was fancy. You know, and I remember I would do that at home, and then I would call my friend JD to come pick me up, and then we would go to the bars, you know, and I promise you, like, for my size, like, I could outdrink you, David, I know I could, like, that's just, like, my ego, yeah, let's go, baby, like, that's just where I was, and, you know, and I would do that experiment, and I remember, like, night two, I had, like, 3 beers, the wine, the whiskey, and then I got sick. I was like, oh, let's reel it back, you know, 2 beers, da-da-da-da-da. Like, who does that? Who wastes their time like that but a real alcoholic? You know, like, I know that about myself today. JD and Julie weren't like, all right, let's mix it up like this. You know, oh, you did that too? Like, I'm not alone. You know, I am not alone. There are other, you know, 30-somethings in here that got here when they were in their 20s, and they're like, oh, this is not where I'm supposed to be. You know, but this, thank God, is right where I was supposed to be. You know, like, I have a higher power today that led me here. You know, how I spoke a minute ago about, like, waking up and, like, thinking I'm done. Like, that's not how I think. That's something else, like, intervening for me and calling my sister. You know, that's something else working for me. You know, something else is working for me when I can finally see myself in this book. I have those entire paragraphs underlined in here, you know, but step one for me was so incredibly hard. It just really was. I did not want to be an alcoholic. I did not want to be here with all the old retired military, because I figured Elizabeth City was the only place AA existed, you know, and all there was like old retired military people, and I'm like, it's not me. This is not where I'm supposed to be at in life, but yet I felt that this was my life. Like, towards the end of my drinking, like, I was just like, I don't know what else to do. Like, I felt like crap. My insides were just, like, black, and I was just like, this is my life. I got to get accustomed to it. I got to get accustomed to just feeling bleh, you know, and AA has given me a different life today, and I am so grateful for that. And for my first step, you know, I had to write out 5 ways I was powerless and 5 ways I was unmanageable, and that was incredibly hard for me as a 20-something. I was like, nah, dude, my life, like, you know, I might be powerless, but my life's not unmanageable. Like, I would debate this over and over with my sponsors, you know, and I had a little team that worked on me in Elizabeth City. And, you know, finally, I did a real one. I put it on an entire piece of paper instead of having it on, like, on ripped, like a corner of a piece of paper ripped off. I finally started taking it serious, you know, because I finally felt like an alcoholic. That took a lot for me. And it changed. Like, I can look back at that paper today and I'm like, oh my God, I'm so glad I still have this. You know, like, I feel like an alcoholic and I can see that. And now that I see it, because I can just talk about stuff all day, but when I finally see myself in black and white, like, and I wrote it, that's a game changer for me. Like, then I want to, like, take some action and move forward. You know, I don't want to feel black forever. So what do I do? So anyways, I'm done. Thank you. Yeah.
Thanks, Leslie.
Thanks, yeah, Leslie. Ebony?
So, more about alcoholism. This was the first chapter in the big book that made sense to me, you know, and I don't, it's one of those chapters that I get excited to read just because, like, this is me. I don't like to admit I'm a real alcoholic, you know. I don't want to think, like, I always want to be the exception to the rule, and I always want to be, like, different from people, and I want people to see how unique I am, except for this alcoholism issue that I deal with. Like, I don't want to be different anymore, because then that makes me an alcoholic, and I don't want to be one of those people. You know, that is how I walked into the fellowship, sitting in meetings, judging everybody. Like, yeah, I hear you, but maybe I can still figure this out. And I love the fact that, you know, this chapter, all it does is burst my bubbles, these excuses and these ideas and these secret plans that I had when I thought, okay, so maybe I suffer from alcoholism, but I have a different strand than you do. You know, I don't need all of that stuff that you guys are talking about. You know, and so I like the part now where it tells me, like, most of us are like you, Ebony. You're not different. We are full of ego, and so are you, you jerk. Like, that is me, you know, and that's how I read it today, because I thought I was so special. And this just, everything in this chapter just keeps giving me a dose of humility. And so I just keep reading down in the first paragraph, talking about the vain attempts to prove that I could drink like other people, you know, the idea that somehow someday I will control, and being a very important conjunction, as my mother would say, conjunctions are important, control and enjoy. You know, when I'm controlling my drinking, I don't enjoy it. And when I'm enjoying my drinking, it's definitely not because I was controlling it. That's the type of alcoholic I am. You know, I like the effect produced by alcohol. And like those two things together just blow my mind that people can control and enjoy it. You know, I see other people do it. I don't get it. And like, it's also funny because I don't want to be a normal drinker. When I think about drinking in my head, I don't think about going out and having like two mixed drinks. Like, I'm the girl that goes to the bar and I'm like, what's the strongest? Don't give me a mixer. I'm the girl who like hides liquor in my car and in my purse. I'm the girl that still to this day, when I see like bras that have like secret straws where people are putting alcohol to sneak into concerts, I'm like, that's my jam. Like, that should have been invented before I stopped drinking. Like, that's the type of drunk I am. And so it always, like, many pursue it into the gates of insanity and death. I landed in the Fellowship of Alcoholics Anonymous by the grace of God. I did not do anything special to deserve to be here. And I have to remind myself that consistently, because I see people come in and out. I see people who drank the way I drank are dying on the inside the same way I was. And like, for some reason, I'm still here. And some of them are not, you know. Hopefully they do come back, but, you know, I've seen the insanity and I've seen the death, and, you know, but for the grace of God, there go I. And then the second paragraph, learned that I had to concede. There's this man named Danny, who was a big book thumper in my early sobriety. And Danny would always talk about conceding and what it means in wartime. And he was like, that's when you're conceding means you stop fighting. You put your guns down and you walk over and you join the winning side. And that's what Alcoholics Anonymous was for me. Like, I had to stop fighting. You know, I had to stop fighting this idea and living in this delusional world that I could figure it out and finally identify in, like, maybe I am that type of alcoholic. Period. Like, I suffer from a progressive illness. I am hopeless. I am desperate. You know, I suffer from the allergy and the obsession of the mind. And I suffer from that spiritual malady, but I didn't know that. The fellowship taught me these words. And so I love how it tells me we learned stuff like that, because I learned what I suffer from through you guys. And as you guys taught me this, this is the first step. And I'm like, we're on page 30, and now it's telling me this is the first step at page 30, and then there's more pages to go. Like, I only want to read like 3 pages and have an answer. I like quick, fast, get it done. Like, that is my life, you know. And so this paragraph is like the warning paragraph for me. The delusion that we are like other people, or presently maybe, has to be smashed. And I feel like they spent the rest of this chapter smashing all my delusions. Like, I will never have power. I will, Leslie smashing, I can see her in the background. I will never have power. I will never have choice. And I'll never have control, you know? And I had to learn it through the examples given in this chapter for me. It's weird to think of myself when I first came in, because I know the insanity of my mind. I know the delusions I was still under, and I still was thinking, like, maybe I can figure this out. And it tells me in plain simple words, Ebony, no real alcoholic ever recovers control. You know, and I don't like talking about pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization, because it's pitiful and incomprehensible demoralization. You know, all those times I did stuff and would wake up the next day asking myself, how did this happen? Or when people would tell me about the stuff that I did, that doesn't sound like me. I would never do anything like that. I would never hit somebody's car and keep driving. Like, you know, I'm the girl that would wake up in the morning and try to find my car outside of my apartment and then think, like, oh, and then stop drinking for a while. And then the next time it got worse faster. You know, that is how I drank. You know, I love this progressive illness. I believe I could have stopped a long time ago, but alcohol worked for me. And then when it stopped working, I had crossed that invisible line where I just could not stop. You know, I will always get worse and never better. You know, my alcoholism is my disease. It's still in me. It's still growing. And like, all I do today is follow some directions. But I know today, if I pick up a drink, the time I have not had one is not going to erase any of this disease. That disease is getting stronger, just like my recovery is. It's one or other for me today. So thanks for letting me share.
Thanks, Ebony. We're going to continue on page 41, and we're at the point in the book where he's told us like three parables. We've met Jim, the alcoholic car salesman who thinks it's a splendid idea to put whiskey in milk. And then we do the, I know it's my father would say that's a good way to screw up two good drinks. and we talked about the jaywalker, and then we met our friend Fred who came in contact with Bill and Bob, and then said, thanks for the information, but I got some other things to do. Went on a roaring bender, and he ends up in front, puzzled and humiliated in the hospital. And he says this on page 41 to Bill and Bob. As soon as I regained my ability to think, I went carefully over that evening in Washington. Not only had I been off guard, I had made no fight whatever against the first drink. This time I had not thought of the terrific consequences at all. I had commenced to drink as carelessly as though the cocktails were ginger ale. I now remembered what my alcoholic friends told me, how they prophesized that if I had an alcoholic mind, the time and place would come, I would drink again. They had said that though I did raise a defense, it would one day give way before some trivial reason for having a drink. Well, just that did happen and more, for what I had learned of alcoholism did not occur to me at all. I knew from that moment that I had an alcoholic mind. I saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. I had never been able to understand people who said that a problem had them hopelessly defeated. I knew then it was a crushing blow. Leslie?
Bum, bum, bum. That's just how I feel like there should be noise right there. At the end of the page on 41, I wrote, accidentally drunk, no fight, you know, because that was me. Like, I knew I'd start out drinking, but I never thought I would be as drunk as I was or as fast or whatever. And as you were reading this, I remembered there was one time in my drinking, I felt perfect. I mean, like, it was like the perfect level of drunk. There's no better feeling I've had in my life. And I remember just like feeling so excited. And then like slow motion matrix, I turned to my left and it went away. And I have never been more upset in my entire life. And I was like, let me get a double. Let me get something else. Like, I got to get back. I got to get back there. And I could not get back there to save my life, you know? And then I have other moments in my drinking. I remember sitting on a couch and I looked over and I saw myself. I swear to God, I was just drinking this night. I was like, whoa, how did I get right there too? Like, there is no balance when it comes to me, you know? Like, you never know what you're going to get, ever. I never know who I'm going to be, sadly, you know? And this just, like, pops my bubble, like Ebony was just talking about. Like, I had no defense. I didn't want a defense before I was out there drinking, you know? Like, I just needed it to feel better. I needed it, you know? I really did just, like, needed it to just get along with my day, you know, to get along with you and just to feel okay inside. That's what it was all about. You know, it's just to like feel okay and just kind of push through the rest of my life. That's what the end of it looked like, you know. But I had no fight against that. And I remember we were in the late night meeting the other night, and somebody was like, what was your last drink? And like the class actor that I am, it was Budweiser. And it was out of a can, of course. And I remember I set myself up for this perfectly. You know, I'd been in AA for a year and a half, like legit, it was my last drink. And I was in somebody's house and I'd come into the garage because that's where good Southern people hang out, is in the garage. And I didn't even make it down the first step. And the guy was like, hey, here you go. And I naturally just took it out of his hand and I looked at it and I was like, I can't be a rude Southerner. You know, that was legit my first thought, is I can't be rude. I can't turn this down, you know? And then the next thing I knew was like, ooh, what about AA? What about all this stuff they've taught me, you know? And I had the thought like, this is the night I'm going to do it, guys. I'm going to control my drinking. I just told this story. I probably told it 8 times today to myself and 3 times to Evan. and I was like, I'm going to control my drinking. I'm only going to have, what I say, like 3 or 4. And I looked down and I was 1 up over the number I gave myself. And I was like, rats, might as well get good and drunk. You know, they were right, whatever. And I blacked out. I was the same person I had always been. I remember this better than I remember yesterday, you know, because we were all in those like foldable lawn chair things in the garage. And I was like in the middle and everybody else was like around. And it was just like a pile of garbage around me. And I was like, oh, well, here we go. And the next thing I know, I was almost hitting a mailbox. And then the next thing I know, it's like I'm waking up in my vomit, because that is really the classy girl that I am. You know, calling out of work, feeling the same, like, guilt, shame, and remorse. But that incomprehensible, I just don't understand it, man. Why is it that? Why is it there? You know, because I don't have a solution. I didn't have that defense against that first drink. You know, but now after I woke up that morning, oh my God, I want this more than ever. You know, how do I do this? How do I fix this? I want this. I am an alcoholic. I finally feel like I'm an alcoholic. You know, I am that jaywalker. I said this earlier today. Like, I want what I want when I want it, and I just go. You know. So anyways, go ahead, Eb.
Thanks, Leslie. Ebony?
Thanks, Leslie. I love the ending. This is me. Saw that willpower and self-knowledge would not help in those strange mental blank spots. You know, and I just love that description of strange mental blank spots. Because I am a woman of lots of words until it comes to describing my alcoholism. Like, I never had the words to describe things. I remember I'm not surrounded by people who drink the way I drink or who suffer from the way I suffer from alcoholism. And, you know, strange mental blank spots was like, aha, that's exactly what it is. I know what those are. That explains it. You know, I'm so grateful that AA taught me about me, you know. And at the same time, no matter how much they teach me about me, that self-knowledge would not help, period. And willpower will not help. I just feel like that is so self-explanatory, that it was a crushing blow is how I felt. Like, I am screwed. What now? I really am one of you guys and I am screwed. Help. What do I do? Thanks.
Thank you, Ebony. I'm going to share the screen again. We got one more paragraph that ends in hope. On page 43, this particular chapter closes with, once more, The alcoholic at certain times has no effective mental defense against the first drink, except in a few rare cases. Neither he nor any other human being can provide such a defense. His defense must come from a higher power. Leslie?
What up?
What up?
So in the noon meeting today, we read this, and I just want to go up top above that really quick because I was too shy to share on this earlier. It says, you know, we're heartbreaking people, and we really are. But it says, though not a religious person, I have profound respect for the spiritual approach. You know, I totally missed that. I didn't finish reading the sentence. Y'all can go read it yourself. But the fact that it says spiritual, this isn't religious, you know, it's all about me getting a connection with something. You know, my first connection was with you guys, you know, so my first G.O.D. really was a group of drunks. And I am so grateful for that. I really learned this because my honest first higher power was my sponsor, and I put her on that pedestal. And then one day she gave me an assignment. She did something. She upset me. And I was like, like, see why I need a higher power. My higher power just, like, upset me. Like, I take my throne back, you know? But, God, I don't have a mental defense against the first drink. Like, booze really has me licked. It is the one thing that controls me, and I allow it to. But now that I said that out loud, sometimes I give people that power, too. Like, I let you steal my thunder. I let you take my serenity. Or whatever it is, I've learned today that I am powerless over a lot of things in my life. You know, when I first got here, it was all about figuring out the drink problem. If you're new, cover your ears because it's way more than just about drinking. You know, I can look at that little dot and say that today. I can look you all in your eyes and say that today. You know, it's so much more than just drinking. And I am so grateful for that. Like, I am so grateful to be an alcoholic. Because I have a solution for my life problems today. I really do. Like, AA led me to God. You know, it really did. And, like, I remember the day I found my higher power. I called my sponsor, and I was actually working. I was exploring. I was like, hey, great news, Amanda. I found my higher power today. It's such and such. She's like, great. It's always been there. And I was like, what? No. Like, you don't get it. Like, pop my bubble. Ebony, pop my bubble. You know, and like that is my experience, and that is that kind of sponsorship that I need. That's like, no, girl, no, let's reel it back. You know, and I'm grateful. I have a tiny defense against the first drink. Again, I don't have control over that first thought that comes into my head, but I am able to flush it now. I am able to flush it. You know, so if you're new, you know, welcome. Alcoholics Anonymous has saved my life. Like, I say this a lot. I was nothing but a little punk before I got here, and for a while after I got here, and Alcoholics Anonymous has given me nothing but love and acceptance and tolerance and just everything I was ever looking for in life. Like, I get my ease and comfort today from Alcoholics Anonymous, from my higher power, and from the 12 steps, because that is where the real, like, that blood that I was talking about earlier, it's not there anymore. I can let it come back if I want, you know. If I just let all that powerlessness and that unmanageability build back up, it's there. But, like, I choose not to today. And, like, this book is the solution. It teaches me about myself, and I am so grateful for all of this today. They were talking about the triangle before. That's not a triangle, but we'll work on that. But it's all there, you know. So, Simple Actions, thank you for letting me be a part of this tonight. Thank you for helping me stay sober. And if you're coming back, high five on making it back, because some of us don't. Some of us have to die in order for the rest of us to stay sober. So thank you again for saving my life.
Thanks, Leslie. Ebony?
So this last paragraph, this whole chapter, you know, it's a crushing blow to all the excuses that I had, all of the delusions that I thought made me different and unique. You know, and I love how it, like, when I first start reading this paragraph, I just feel hopeless. Like, I truly am this type of alcoholic. Like, I'm going to drink again, left on my own. like it's telling me time and time again, and I've identified in, and I see this happening over and over in my life, and it's scary. Like, what am I supposed to do? Like, I'm cursed. I'm screwed. I believe I truly am a real alcoholic, you know, and I love that it has me hopelessly defeated there. You know, I love that because only for a drunk like me, I have to be completely and utterly like at my bottom before I'm willing to accept help. You know, before I'm willing to even open my mind to that idea of the second step. This idea of his defense must come from a higher power doesn't seem so crazy anymore. Doesn't seem so far-fetched. That guide idea for me didn't seem that terrible once I realized, like, this is how alcoholism is ruining my life. Not only is it this allergy, but this mind that will not keep me away from that first drink that is triggering this allergy. And I'm morally dead inside. I have no feelings. I just want to die in my sleep, you know. I identify with that spiritual malady. So now at this point in this book, for the first time, I was like, maybe the God idea is stupid, but I'm willing to know that I am powerless. So I'm willing to maybe move on a little bit in this process that people were telling me about. You know, and I know today, like, this fact is true in my life. And everything Leslie said, ditto. So that's all I got. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a privilege.
Thank you so much, Ebony. I'm going to unmute everybody and everybody can give a actual round of applause. Let the feedback begin.
Yeah. Woo.
Whoop, whoop.
Great job.
All right. I just muted everybody. I thought I did. So I just threw the link up there for the Tidewater Intergroup. The Seventh Tradition says that every AA group ought to be fully self-supporting, declining outside contributions. While contributions cover each group's rent and other expenses, the Seventh Tradition is essential at every level of AA service. It is both a privilege and a responsibility for groups and members to ensure that not only their group, but also their intergroup, central office, local services, district area, and general service office remain self-supporting. This keeps AA free of outside influences that might divert us from our primary purpose to help the alcoholic who still suffers. Are there any announcements for the good of AA? Just virtually raise your hand, please. Lisa.
Hi, I'm Lisa. I'm an alcoholic. Tonight at 10 o'clock, we have the late night meeting. We do a speaker where he or she speaks on a topic out of the big book and then gives a topic for people to discuss about after they're done. And then we do like a popcorn system. It's a really great meeting. The meeting afterwards is even better. So stick around for the meeting after the meeting. Join us at 10 o'clock. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa. Anybody else have an announcement? Okay. All meeting closures, meeting openings, and a page with links to all the local Tidewater online meetings are at the tidewaterintergroup.org. Have I mentioned the tidewaterintergroup.org? Simple Actions is a home group. If you're interested in joining our home group or in need of a sponsor, please hang out after the meeting. Home group members, you want to raise your hands virtually? There's BJ. There's a bunch of them in here. So sponsorship in AA is yours for the asking. We urge you, do not delay. If you have questions or would like additional information about sponsorship, I'll be available, or we'll be hanging out after the meeting. That's what I meant to say. After we close the meeting, please feel free to reach out to one of us. If you're shy and the chat window you haven't figured out, you could also send an email to info@simpleactions.net. So in closing, I'd like to thank all who participated. And do I have a volunteer to read the last two paragraphs on page 164? I didn't do that before the meeting.
I'll do that, David.
Awesome. Thank you.
I'm Nicole. I'm an alcoholic.
Hi, Nicole.
Our book is meant to be suggestive only. We realize we realize we know only a little. God will constantly disclose more to you and to us. Ask him in your morning meditation what you can do each day for the man who is still sick. The answers will come if your own house is in order. But obviously, you can't transmit something you haven't got. See to it that your relationship with him is right, and great events will come to pass for you and countless others. This is the great fact for us. Abandon yourself to God as you understand God. Admit your faults to him and to your fellows. Clear away the wreckage of your past. Give freely of what you find and join us. We shall be with you in the fellowship of the Spirit, and you will
surely meet some of us as you trudge the road of happy destiny. May God bless you and keep you. Until then, that was my fault. Everybody is unmuted for the Lord's Prayer. Our Father,
Father,
who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen.